Now, if you'll turn to Psalm 148 and page 61 in our hymnal, we'll read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heaven, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. If you'd like to follow along, and as you well know, I would encourage you to do that. You can find the reading on page 652 of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, in your pew Bible. Hear these words. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. That can be found in the New Testament, page 205. Your pew Bible. I will keep my glasses up. Hear these words. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. Again, here I am, and the children who God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. It's in your pew Bible on page 2 of the New Testament. This is one of those times when the lectionary of the general church is kind of confused. Two nights ago, we read about Jesus' birth. Today, we'll read about the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, which if your timeline is there in front of you, his birth, they're leaving for Egypt. And in the middle is when the wise men show up. Well, we will read about the wise men showing up next week. So figure that out. Anyway, kind of release your need to find time in chronology, and we'll enjoy this story today. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. The first line is now after they had left, and that's referring to the wise men. So figure that out. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if the lectionary can do strange things with timing, then so can I. I wanted you to think about this past Monday night. That night, that Monday, I was reminded of the wonderful stories of Christ's birth in Bethlehem, especially the part about the amazing signs in the sky. Depending on which gospel you're reading and on what part of the story you're reading, you may well have read about the wise Gentile men, the Magi, from afar, watching the rising and moving of a brand new star, brighter than anything they had ever seen. Or you might remember the story from Christmas Eve of the shepherds watching their flocks in the fields. They were shocked to look up and see an angel accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Truly, wonderful things happened in the skies over Bethlehem. Well, this past Monday night in 2010, as you may well remember, we had a full moon, and we had a total lunar eclipse that coincided with the winter solstice, which was the shortest day of the year. Well, Jane and Zach and I got up at 12:30 a.m. and trundled out into the cold night air of our backyard to gaze skyward. We saw the beauty of the winter constellations of stars, and we watched with our mouths hanging open as the earth's shadow moved across the face of the moon. It was an awe-inspiring sight. These were amazing signs in the modern sky that reminded me boldly and graphically of the birth of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet with each of these signs, and with the miracles to which these signs were pointing, there is also the reality of our humanity. As our youth and our choir explained in words and song during their Christmas cantata 2 weeks ago, the wise men, the Magi, had left their families and their loved ones to travel on a mysterious journey that led them far from their homes, across deserts and into mysterious unknown cities, in order to follow this Christmas star that would lead them ultimately to the birthplace of the King of the Jews. This journey was an odyssey of sacrifice and great human effort. The shepherds were hard at work far from their homes, watching their flocks of sheep in the cold darkness of the plains of the Holy Land. They too were often far away from their families for months at a time. On Monday, my family and I left the warmth of our beds in order to get up, get on our coats and shoes, and shuffle into the backyard darkness in order to gaze up into the winter sky to watch that lunar eclipse. When we think about Christmas, we often come back to the wonder and the glory and the magic of this special event in human history. But these stories remind us again of the reality of our humanity. And when you really think about it, isn't that the whole point of Christmas? That Jesus came to earth fully divine yet fully human in order to share in our humanity? Jesus was born of Mary and Joseph in the house of David as Emmanuel, or God with us. Several of today's scripture readings point to the absolute love of God, that God would humble God's self to become one of us. From Isaiah 63:9, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. From Hebrews that Bill read, for the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. From a little bit further in Hebrews 2:16-18, for it is clear that Jesus did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. In other words, he didn't come to help angels, but rather people like you and me. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The part of the Christmas story that we read today shows us very clearly the reality of the humanity of the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. When we think about the birth of Jesus, we often remember the wonder and the glory and the magic of it all. But there was more nitty-gritty humanity here, too. For those of you who are mothers and fathers, think back to the time when your child was a few days or a few weeks old. Can you remember the sleepless nights, the several midnight feedings, the seemingly endless crying when you couldn't figure out what your baby needed? Jesus may well have been the newborn King of the Jews, but he was also a fussy, needy infant boy who needed constant attention. Matthew's gospel tells us about the additional human tribulation of this particular family. A few days after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in that stable behind the inn, the angel returned to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. Well, more to the point for you, do you remember how worried you were as a parent about your firstborn child? Can you imagine how worried you would have been if you knew that the government was systematically murdering every newborn baby boy, just like your son? Have you ever traveled with an infant in all the required diaper bags and diapers and bottles and paraphernalia? Can you imagine what it would have been like to get up in the middle of the night, to pack all your belongings and set out for a distant land on foot with one donkey to help out? Egypt is a long way from Bethlehem. And then the trials and travels and tribulations of this young family didn't end there in Egypt. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream again to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." So Joseph dutifully got up. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel, ultimately Nazareth. Now, Joseph did this, as any good father would, because of his love for his family. Just like God's love for us, God's human family. My sisters and brothers, Christmas is over. And we have the long, cold Colorado winter ahead of us. But Jesus is born anew into the world and into our hearts, where he will grow and develop. Despite the reality of this world, the crime, the hunger, the poverty, the war, despite all of that, we have hope in the promise of God's kingdom. And we know that we can be more in the new year 2011 than we are right now. Despite the reality of our humanity, and also, frankly, because of our humanity, we are brothers and sisters of each other. We are children of God, and we strive to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. This is also the meaning of Christmas. Jesus Christ is born. Shalom. Amen.